Welcome to Torah Simecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Alter, and today we will be studying Megillas Rus, Perek Gimel. While Perek Beis was the actualization of Rus's initiative to collect food for both herself and Naomi for short-term survival, the beginning of Perek Gimel is our introduction to Naomi's plan for long-term survival. Naomi informs Rus that she wishes for her to marry Boaz and introduces her plan to her daughter-in-law. She instructs her to bathe and dress up in her finest and go to the threshing floor at night and discreetly reveal herself to Boaz after he has finished eating and drinking for the evening. Once he lays down, she should lay at his feet and reveal herself to him. Rus readily agrees to the plan and pledges to do whatever Naomi tells her. She goes down to the threshing floor to wait. In the middle of the night, Boaz discovers her and trembles. When he asks who she is, she explains she is there to ask him to act as Goel, redeemer for the family. Upon hearing this request, he praises her for wishing to be part of this selfless plan for continuity and says it is even greater than her initial chesed of returning to Beis Lechem with Naomi. Boaz promises to take care of the matter and calls her an Eshes Chayil, but he does inform her that he is unable to proceed at present since there is a Goel who is a closer relative. He pledges to take care of the matter in the morning and reach out to him, and if he will not act as Goel, then Boaz will. Rus remains by his feet until light outside and then leaves before she is detected by anyone else. Before leaving, he measures 6 measures of barley for her so that she does not return home empty-handed. Rus returns to Naomi and fills her in all that has transpired. Naomi has confidence that Boaz will follow through on the matter on that day and tells Rus to sit home and wait. Similar to last perek, after a conversation between mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, Rus goes to Boaz's field. In last perek, she went to gather grain, and in this perek, she goes on Naomi's orders to ask Boaz to be the Goel for the family by marrying her and performing a version of the mitzvah of Yibum, described in the Torah as an obligation for a brother to marry his dead brother's widow in the case of no children, in order to provide continuity for the name of the deceased. In last perek, it was the suggestion of Rus herself to go to the field, and in this perek, Naomi is the one who initiates. In both prakim, Rus is praised for her actions by Boaz, and in both prakim, Boaz provides food for Rus. After last perek and Boaz's recognition and public praise of Rus, it seems like her reputation had maybe been rehabilitated in the eyes of the people of Beis Lechem, who ignored her at first when she arrived and considered her a foreigner. But now Naomi is asking Rus to put herself in a potentially compromising situation where she will appear to be involved in an inappropriate seduction, acting more as a Moabite than a Jew. Although we can appreciate how difficult this must have been for Rus, she doesn't question Naomi's plan. Even the language used in this perek seems morally questionable. In fact, if we look closely at some of the words used in the perek, we see no mention of the lofty word Goel from Naomi, and not even mentioned by Rus until Pasuk Tes. But instead, in Pasuk Dalet, we have words like Bishachvo, when he lays down. V'yadat et hamakom, the word yada in Tanakh, often means a sexual encounter. As does the word vigilit, you should expose, the same root as giloy arayos. Or Vatavo in Pasuk Zion, from the root of the word Bia, intercourse, as well as Vatigal, another reference to revealing and exposing. Pasuk Zion also contains the word Arema, which is the pile of grain, but it's the same letters and the same root as Aruma, unclothed. The root Shachav makes another appearance in the word Shocheves in Pasuk Ches as well. The scene that is being painted linguistically is definitely risque. In her directions to Rus, we see something interesting in the text, a discrepancy between Kri and Ksiv. When Naomi tells Rus to go down to the threshing floor in Psukim Gimel and Dalid and to lay down, although these verbs are pronounced as commands in second person to Rus, they are written in first person as if Naomi is the one going down. V'yaradati, she is the one, v'shachavti, laying down. It is as if Naomi is the one who vicariously acting out the scene. The Midrash says this is because Rus hesitated and was scared, so Naomi said her merit would be accompanying Rus down to the threshing floor. Or possibly Naomi recognized this was a big ask of Rus And she was saying that she's taking full responsibility for what she's asking her to do by jeopardizing her reputation. And Rus willingly negates herself and her personal hesitations, as we see in Pasuk Hey, where the letters in the word a lie to me are missing in the text and only the vowels are written, visually depicting this notion of Rus negating herself in actualizing Naomi's plan. It's really amazing to see the progression in Naomi's belief and confidence in the possibility of Geula for her family, something that we saw absent in Perek Aleph. It's also possible in this story to say that Naomi specifically orchestrated the story to go this way, to be in line with other biblical precedents involving continuity in the Torah that established a pattern for implementing plans through compromising situations, whether the daughters of Lot seducing their father to continue to populate the world after Sodom's destruction, or Tamar attaching herself to the family of Yehuda by dressing as a prostitute to turn him off the path so that she could be the mother of future kings of Shevet Yehuda. Rus, being from Moab, is a result of the story of Lot's daughters, and Boaz, being from Shevet Yehuda, is a result of Yehuda and Tamar's story. These stories all have similar patterns, beginning with a separation between brothers or close relatives, whether Lot and Avraham, Yehuda and his brothers, Elimelech and his Shevet, with the separation endangering the continuity of the family line. The Midrashim couple Rus and Tamar together as two women who were Moser Nefesh, who sacrificed their reputation on behalf of Shevet Yehuda. On a Kabbalistic level, there's also the idea about the origins of Mashiach from the tribe of Yehuda being clothed in some measure of impropriety to ward off evil from attempting to interfere with the purity of redemption. By having the appearance of imperfection in these stories, we can preserve the sanctity of the ultimate Redeemer. It's interesting to note in our example that while the story starts off similar to these, Boaz does not act similarly to the other males in the parallel examples and waits until the matter is clear before acting. Boaz asks Rus who she is in the middle of the night, as opposed to Yehuda and Lot, who are literally kept in the dark. Boaz's trembling and surprise in Pasuk Ches is similar to Yitzchak's trembling upon the realization that he blessed Yaakov instead of Esav, and that his assumptions about his sons was necessary to be re-examined. Boaz, too, was surprised here and not expecting or prepared to take responsibility and be the Goel when he discovers Rus at his feet and hears her request. The Midrash relates the story being alluded to in the words David HaMelech wrote in Sefer Tehillim, Perek Kuf Yud Tes, Chatzos Laila Akum Lehodos Lach, referring to in the middle of the night praising Hashem, referring to Hashem performing favorably for his ancestors on this night because Boaz blessed Rus instead of cursing her on that night on the threshing floor. Because otherwise, where would David have been? So he's very thankful to Hashem. Hashem made sure that Boaz took Rus's actions the right way and saw the Mesiras Nefesh of Rus. Naomi tells Rus to reveal herself by his feet in Pasuk Dalid, by Boaz's feet, which can be a hint to the mitzvah of Yivum, or more specifically, to the possibility of the mitzvah of Chalitza performed with a shoe on a foot. The words Rus uses for her request of him is Ufarasta knafecha ala masecha, that you should spread your wings or your garment over your maidservant. This phraseology and the notion of spreading wings is used in Sefer Yechezkel to describe the relationship and marriage between us and Hashem. By mentioning it here, we are seeing a connection maybe between the personal geula for the family of Elimelech that Rus is suggesting and how it symbolizes the geula necessary for the entire nation, needed during the Shoftim time period. And in this parak, we see that both geulas need to be waited for, as in this story where the resolution is pushed until the morning when there is light / clarity of the matter. This theme of geula becomes evident as seven different variations of the root goel appear in this parak, four of them just in Pasuk Yud Gimel alone, further reinforcing this theme of both personal and communal redemption. Both Rus and Boaz are described by the term chayil, people of inner strength and resolve, which makes them well-matched. Boaz was described in last parak by the term ish gibor chayil, and in Pasuk Yud Aleph, he calls Rus an eshes chayil, the only woman to be called so in Tanakh. In fact, some midrashim view Rus as the subject of the entire parak of eshes chayil from Sefer Mishlei, parak Lamed Aleph, or at least the subject of the ending psukim from the Perek, which was included in Mishlei by its author Shlomo HaMelech, possibly to honor his illustrious great-great-grandmother. Boaz praises Rus in Pasuk Yud and invokes Hashem's name once again in his bracha to her. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, he mentions the closer relative as a goel. He says the words, Im yigalech tov yigal, which can either be interpreted to mean that if the closer relative agrees to be goel, then good, and if not, Boaz will. Or the phrase can be understood like the Ibn Ezra, and others explain that the word tov is a reference to the name of the goel himself. However, if this was his actual name, it's only referenced here and not in the next parak when he is again mentioned in the storyline. Although Boaz pushes off the matter of Geula until the morning, he takes care of Rus that night and sends her off in Pasuk Tesvav in the morning with food to take home to Naomi. Why does he do this, and why this specific amount that he does? It's possible that he wanted it to appear that she was collecting at the field in case she were to see anyone on her way home so early. However, it's still not the usual time for people to have been collecting grain, so the reasoning may not be plausible. It's also possible to view this as symbolic of Boaz taking responsibility for the family, as he declared he would. The pasuk does not indicate the exact measurement of grain he gave her, but many understand it to have been a small measure, indicating through the gesture that he will be in touch with the family soon, before the food is all consumed. The Gemara in Sanhedrin finds significance to the specific numbers of 6 measures of barley and offers a few possibilities of what these symbolized. One is a possibility of the 6 children born from Rus's family in the future, distinct children, those of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, as well as David HaMelech and Melech HaMashiach. Another possibility is this is a reference to David HaMelech himself, who is described in Sefer Shmuel with 6 blessings, Yodea Nagain, a musician, Ish Milchama, a warrior, Gibor Chayil, a man of strength, Navon Davar, wise, Ish Toar, good-looking, Hashem Imo, and close to Hashem. Or, the Gemara also says these could be descriptions of Mashiach ben David from Sefer Yeshayahu, words that Eitan Katz has made known through his song, V'nacha Alav Ruach Hashem, talking about the spirit of Hashem that will rest over Mashiach, with 6 descriptions, Ruach Chachma Uvina, talking about wisdom, Ruach Eitza Ugvura, intelligence, Ruach Das V'yiras Hashem, knowledge and fear of Hashem. The difference in the amount of food given to Rus in Prakim, Beis, and Gimel may point to the differences in the themes of each parak. In last parak, the focus was on food and short-term survival, so the amount provided was significant. Whereas in this parak, the main goal is continuity and marriage, so the food exchange is really just symbolic of this more significant role, and so therefore it wasn't a large amount exchanged. The verb used when Boaz places the food on the shawl of Rus is vayeshes, he placed, and the same word root is used in next parak, vatishisehu, when Naomi places the baby born to Rus and Boaz in her own arms. This links the goal from this parak to the next. The seeds, zera, of barley handed to Rus also symbolize the zera, reference to children that Naomi is hoping to produce for her family through the marriage to Boaz. Naomi had declared that she was reikam, empty, when she first came to Beis Lachem, and now Boaz tells Rus not to return reikam, empty-handed, to Naomi. Aside from the linguistic connection, the statement is significant in that this is the first time where it seems Boaz is paying attention to Naomi, his family member. Just as in last parak, when Rus returned to her mother-in-law, she informed her about all that she had done, so to hear Rus updates her mother-in-law in Pasuk Tes Zayin about all that Boaz, Ha'ish, has done and agreed to. And the parak ends on a cliffhanger, waiting to see what will happen with the geula of the family, which Naomi acknowledges is in the hands of Hashem. The phrase, Eich Yipol HaDavar, how the matter will play out, is seen in other places in Tanakh as a reference to a matter indeed being left up to Hashem. And so our parak ends. This year is dedicated by Debbie and Yossi Rosenberg in loving memory of their dear grandmother, Mrs. Ruth Friedman, Rivka Bas Yaakov, Alea Shalom.